Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, a report by the Health Information and Quality Authority, HICWA, published today, has found that children with a disability were left confined to their upstairs bedrooms for over 3 weeks because the lift in their home was broken. This was found during an unannounced inspection of the Woodbrook Lodge Home for Children with a Disability in County Monaghan. This afternoon, the Minister with Responsibility for Disabilities, Anne Rabbitt, announced that she is to seek a meeting with the facility's owners as well as the HSE and HICWA. In a statement, the minister said she couldn't stand over this type of behaviour and expressed hope that nothing like it happens again. And Minister Anne Rabbitt joins us now on the line. You're welcome, Minister, to the programme this evening. This HICWA report really quite shocking. It says the residents, that is the children, have been living in their bedrooms, engaging in limited activities on the landing area of the first floor, having their meals in the upstairs office area, did not attend school, and one resident missed an appointment because there was no way to get them down the stairs except in the case of an emergency. What's your reaction?
I'm absolutely disgusted, to be quite honest with you, Sarah. To hear such a report, and you reading it out there again, to think that in 2023 that children are most vulnerable in the care of the state, being funded by the state, are treated in such a way. It's not acceptable, not on, and I won't stand over it.
And what do you mean by you won't stand over it?
To be quite honest with you, Sarah, like, children have rights. There's the voice of the child. The children have rights, and at nowhere along the way do I feel that those rights have been upheld. And that's exactly what I mean, is that when I mean I won't stand over it, I want to know exactly how exactly this happened. Why wasn't the red, like, there's red flags all over what you're after reading there, Sarah. Absolutely all over it. And at nowhere in the guts of 59 days, like, one day is one day too many where a child couldn't come down. Like, I'm thinking straight off, what about fire? What was going to happen if there was a fire? Like, what deems an emergency bringing a child to go down the stairs to attend school? Is that not a priority? Is that not their right? So what is an emergency? From what I could gather was that, and I need to have more detail and I need to talk to my officials in relation to it, but I'm just saying, as my observation is, that as far as I'm concerned, none of the child's rights were upheld. And I have to understand, what is the relationship between management and their team on the ground? What is the relationship between the team and the understanding with the role of HICWA, with the role of TUSLA, and with the role of the HSE? That alarm bells could not have been sounded sooner, other than an unannounced visit. And I just wonder, if we didn't have that unannounced visit, how long more would it have gone on for?
Well, what we do know is that the lift had been out of order since December 31st, 2022. That was 25 days. But that wasn't the first time it had happened. It had happened previously between July 27th and August 29th, 2022. That was 34 days. So a full 34-day period, and then followed by this 25-day period in which these children were effectively stuck upstairs and couldn't get out. The provider also failed to notify HICWA regarding the issues with the lift or the impact that it had on residents on both occasions. That is what that report has found.
But also the provider also failed to notify their funder, who was the HSE as well, that it wasn't functioning as well. Like, at the end of the day, all operators are actually funded via the HSE. That's the bottom line. So they weren't notified either.
I mean, like, the HICWA statement did find that the provider had failed on a number of different issues of compliance. They were not compliant under 8 different headings, including staffing, risk management, residence rights and fire precautions, but that the service was compliant under healthcare and substantially compliant under positive behavioural support, infection control and statement of purpose.
Yes, but at the end of the day, Sarah, it's my job now to understand and to bring reassurance to families listening in, to everybody, to understand that actually, can we ensure that this situation wouldn't arise again? And that's why I will be meeting with the provider, the HSE and the HICWA. And it goes back to a broader piece in relation to safeguarding.
So who's, I suppose, what I'm trying to understand here is Oh, I wonder, have we lost Mr. Ann Rabbit? We'll see if we can get Mr. Ann Rabbit up on the line, because we're trying to understand, I suppose, in terms of accountability, where does it ultimately stop? Who is ultimately responsible for the safety of those children? We're trying to get Anne back on the line to put that to her. I think we have Minister Ann Rabbit back on the line. And Minister, yeah, I was just going to ask you there. Ultimately, who is responsible here then? Because you mentioned the HSE, and I know you specifically have raised questions before about the HSE's fitness as a provider of centres for people with disabilities. Now, that was specifically in the Northwest area in relation following the publication of the Brandon report. But is this ultimately back at the door of the HSE, or is it the individual providers, or who is ultimately responsible here?
I suppose, Sarah, the buck stops with me. Let's be clear about that. It ultimately stops with me. I'm the minister tasked with responsibility for disability. And the next line of command to me is the HSE. And I need to reassure that service providers and the HSE understand and implement the rights of persons with disabilities, and that it has been delivered right the way through. It's amazing. It's still the same CHO. It is CHO1 again, where we had the Brandon not that long ago. And my confidence, and I needing to understand exactly how this could happen. If it wasn't an unannounced visit, when would we have found out?
Hmm. So if it's the same CHO and you've raised questions in the past about that CHO, and I know you have, and this is 1 year later from when you raised those questions, and as you say, this was an unannounced visit, it had happened twice over two prolonged periods, what is the problem here that is not getting solved?
The problem to me, Sarah, is in relation to relationships. And I talk very clearly about relationships and understandings and patterns. That is where staff need to understand if something isn't going right, how to escalate it up to them. This is basics, how to escalate it up
basics.
To their manager.
That's the problem, though, isn't it? It's very basic.
That's exactly it. It is, Sarah. It is. And it's for anybody listening in, I'm very clear in my messaging. That for once and for all, we need to understand and implement a safeguard and reassurance policy. What does that mean to say is that in actual fact, I need an expert panel to support me to ensure things like this don't go on, and that providers and HSEs and TUSLA, they all know their relationship as to how they function and the interchange between each other, so as the person is protected at the centre.
And what do you mean you need an extra expert panel? Is that something that you have set up?
No, it's something, Sarah, that I would have talked about when I was moving from HSC, when I was in the Department of Health, that when I would move across to the Department of DCD, which I've only landed in, that I would like to have a reassurance panel to look at actually what actually we could have taken the learnings from the Brandon, and how could we implement that reassurance we put in place that we would not have the same repeated incidents again like this.
I'm sorry, I'm not clear on how an expert panel is going to prevent this from happening.
I go back to it, Sarah, it goes back to the basics, where staff members need to know how they escalate situations up to management, how management need to be able to set off that red flag directly to the HSE if they need assistance on it, or directly to their own chain of command, as in that provider to its own senior management, to escalate a problem, to fix it immediately.
So we're back to communication then?
Basic. Yes, Sarah. Knowing your job.
So who is it that doesn't know their job?
Well, it's very apparent here to me that while there was, and it's not fair for me to go into that depth of it without meeting with the provider, the HSE and the HICWA, but it's very, very clearly that certain links in the chain were not working.
All right.
At a very basic level.
Okay, so you're going to go and you're going to meet with HICWA, you're going to meet with the company involved in providing the service, you're going to meet with the HSE. What do you need to hear now to be confident that this service that is being provided is fit for purpose? And I think we've lost Minister Ann Rabbit again, and hopefully, I wonder will we try and get her back, because I would like to ask her also about the situation that we were discussing earlier with older people becoming homeless, and particularly the situation with Micheline Walsh, whose husband is disabled and is facing, alongside Micheline Walsh, the prospect of becoming homeless and ending up in a hostel in 3 weeks' time. Micheline Walsh telling Claire Byrne on her radio show a little earlier on today that she just simply doesn't know what she's going to do. I don't know, can we get the minister? So we'll take a quick break and see what we can do. Oh, sorry, I think we have Minister Anne Rabbitt. Minister Anne Rabbitt, are you back?
Yeah, I'm Sarah, and I apologise about this.
That's okay. Well, I just wanted to ask you very quickly about the situation in terms of that meeting that you're going to have with the three bodies responsible. I'm wondering what you need to hear to convince yourself that this service is fit for purpose, to continue to provide a service to very vulnerable children.
Well, I suppose the basic I need to hear is it wouldn't need to happen again. Secondly, I need to know what action plan they would put in place that in the event that it was to likely happen again, how can we ensure that children will not be left upstairs imprisoned in their own house, not being able to come down the stairs? I need to know that the service provider knows exactly how to identify red flags and how to communicate with the relevant authorities, be it education, be it with TUSLA, or be it with the HSE, to seek assistance if they're not able to solve a problem.
All right. I wanted to ask you briefly, Minister, before I let you go, about the situation with Micheline Walsh, which she explained to Claire Byrne, her radio show this morning, that herself and her husband are facing the prospect of being homeless in a hostel in 3 weeks' time. Her husband is disabled following a stroke and needs an awful lot of care from Micheline. And she clearly sounded terrified this morning at the thought and prospect of ending up in a hostel. Is there any instance in this country where that could or should be allowed to happen?
It shouldn't be allowed to happen, Sarah, by no manner of means. And it goes back to it again. It goes back to interagency relationships between the family, the HSE, because this man has a disability, and the local authority. And solutions need to be found, and there has to be a way to escalate such solutions. Well, I accept we're in a housing crisis, but there has to be a prioritisation of ensuring that people with need to be able to be assessed and assisted as quickly and as timely as possible.
Well, you're saying there has to be, but there isn't. You know, this is going to happen in 3 weeks' time. And at the moment, she has been, Micheline, as she outlined this morning, has been calling everybody she can think of to look for help and to look for assistance. She's been told, call back by the council when you're made homeless, because we can't do anything for you until then. So it's being left until the very last day. She's been told if she goes with family, she can't get on the housing list. She's been told that her rent supplement doesn't follow her anywhere. So on so many different aspects of what is meant to be the safety net the state is supporting, there is none.
Because there's a disability, I've no problem engaging with that lady or engaging with the local authorities to see exactly, can we ensure that safety nets are assisted there, Sarah? That's as much as I can do, and I will more than willingly assist that family to ensure that they don't find themselves in a situation that she described earlier today to Claire. That is not the heart of this government. The heart of this government is to ensure that people have proper access to housing and to meet their needs. And
but
there's a serious crisis here.
That's the problem, but you know. And I mean, I know you're saying you'll help that person, and I'm sure if you can.
No, but it's ensuring that we take the learning. It's to take the learning, Sarah.
But like, I mean, what do you mean take the learning? Should we all know, you know, that there's no houses
exactly
for people to
and
go to?
And you know what? Sarah, I'm not arguing with you at all on this. In actual fact, there has to be amendments within certain circulars. There has to be basic understanding as to how the system should flow and work. And if there's roadblocks within the system that's not enabling it to work, so as we don't need to have people finding themselves at the end of the tether on the very last day wondering what's happening, we have to assist people as opposed to falling off a cliff edge. And that's basics that need to be put in place. So whatever I need to do for my role within the department, in working with the department of local authority or local or other county councils, it needs to be put in place and prioritised. And as Minister for Disability, I certainly will ensure that we don't have cliff edge examples.
All right, Minister Anne Rabbitt, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We'll take a break.